Holland and Cal, you stand before us charged of crimes against humanity. How do you plead? Guilty.
And our lawyer says, Your Honor, I request my first witness. And then the first witness is...
I don't! Shut up, Cal!
Told you, this is why we're not representing ourselves.
We can't help it. Our lives are governed by a dice. You're questioning us on the basis of logic. How are we going to respond? Like this! I just rolled a 3. What does that mean? It means I failed, but I didn't ask a question, so now I'm completely lost.
So, I guess we're going to prison then forever. The lawyer says, I call my first witness to the stand, and then the first witness is a it's a giant frog.
Is that giant frog? They're assholes. Why'd you get him?
Choose that guy.
You know he doesn't like us. Because we went on it. We were trying to
won't kiss him, isn't it?
I mean, that guy spends his time trying to lick people's backs and turning them into princesses. It doesn't even make sense.
Oh, that was it.
They're guilty. No.
I forgot whether I was supposed to kiss him or not. That was the problem.
It's, but, you know, just because we didn't kiss him, like I'll call someone to the stand. Michael Bovanovich, the greatest actor in the world. Michael. But Michael.
Maybe he's already here.
I've done that in a while. Order in court. Order in court. Less catchphrases and some actual new creative thinking.
Less callbacks to previous episodes people may not have seen. How do you plead? Guilty.
No, I'm here. I'm Michael Svinovich. I was pretending to be the gavel. Is that the right word?
The gavel. It's the gavel, Michael.
Shut up.
No, why did we bring him up?
I said I'm the greatest actor in the world, not the greatest alliterator. I've been this gavel for 3 weeks. I've been method acting. I've got such a headache. Order, order. Ow. Michael, you think we're good guys, don't you? Well, you seem to think that I'm good, and you created me, so why not?
This is really confusing.
This is really confusing. Wow. Welcome back.
Thanks, Michael, for making that really, really perplexing. About
hang on.
The nature of creation and.
There's got to be someone in the history, like in the history of our, in our podcast, that's going to help us. Let's think back to last week. Diddle-doo, diddle-doo, diddle-doo. Mermaid gets a cooking show.
What you do, is you buy the curry in the plastic pot, and you open the plastic pot a little bit, you put it in the microwave. Whey!
This is patronising television. It's what people want!
I know to microwave a curry, what else have you got?
Well, I mean, I spend most of my time trying to cook 3 tons of fish for the walrus. I don't have time to make proper fancy meals. He doesn't say much, but my God, does he expend energy.
He looks it. It's so hot.
Yeah.
Just releasing heat energy all the
time. I mean, I like the idea of mermaid having a cookery show, because, like, obviously she is a mermaid.
Yeah.
So... I like the idea of maybe her, like, sort of half her body is, like, in, like, a fish tank when she,
The bottom half.
Yeah. And she could...
Top half when you're in a sense. Yeah, she... upside down the fish tank. Yeah.
And she could be, We don't think this is working, mermaid.
Can't, all the food's falling out. Yeah.
The problem is I've used a load of brandy.
It looks like you've bitten something.
What have you bitten?
Well, you know, like if she'd like bitten a fish, it'd be like blood in the water.
Okay, yeah.
It's just brandy everywhere.
So that's how she eats normally. She just swims around in the sea and bites onto people.
But I reckon the show would be a great success for about 3 weeks. Then she'd get a phone call and like, it'd be Gordon Ramsay. He'd be like, you're stealing my style. Like, I'm the one that has a bit of like, you know, attitude and whatever. I go in prisons, mate. You haven't been in prison.
I have people with their hotels and stuff.
She's like, what do you mean I haven't been in prison? I was in ice prison for 30 years for stabbing unicorns.
They're so tasty.
That's why the audience love her. She's got a dark past, but she's changed.
Plus, I've
got
to feed this bloody walrus. He loves unicorns.
I like the fact that she just cooks curries under the sea. Just swimming about.
Yeah, microwave, which is dangerous, really.
Yeah, terrible.
Maybe she uses like a load of electric eels to like cook them.
Just zaps the curry.
But I'm just glad she's got a job.
No, I am as well, because she's...
I'm here, you know!
after she came out, you know, when once you have a criminal record for stabbing unicorns, people won't know you.
Well, they only caught her because they went around her house and she had a coffee table and their legs were made of unicorn horns.
Okay, yeah.
Because you have to do something with them.
I thought it was...
You can't just put them in the recycling. What are you doing there?
Oh, nothing, nothing.
Is that unicorn horns?
No, no.
Looks like you're throwing away a ton of Cornettos. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and this coffee table had like 36 legs as well.
I'd like a coffee table which was had the legs of a horse as the legs.
That's nice. Like
the front and back legs of a horse.
Alive, or...?
Well, the legs were alive.
Yeah, like magically.
Yeah, that's possible, yeah.
And it could sort of...
But how stable is a horse? Bring me my coffee.
How stable?
Oh, it's spilt everywhere. It's fallen on the floor.
You'd have to teach it to sort of sidestep.
Yeah.
Horses can do that, can't they?
Yeah, they can do. Yeah, like in dressage.
It would have to be like, yeah, it'd have to be a trotting, it'd have to trot.
And then I'd ride it around.
Road to the shops.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd like to know whether those cool teenagers on mopeds would look up to you or down. Well, could go either way. Hang on.
Oh, down to me.
Oh, what? They're like, what's that? You're on a coffee table with horse legs.
A bit of wood with four horse legs.
Not a horse, those are pony legs.
No. Think about how uncomfortable a horse is to sit on. People are always like, oh, it's uncomfortable. This is just a lovely bit of wood, flat bit of wood. Sit cross-legged on that, read a book.
Yeah. And like tea and drinks are a bit of a nightmare, but if you just had like Turkish Delight, I don't like Turkish Delight, so I don't know why I've used an example. I guess,
but it's not you, it's me. I love Turkish Delight.
Oh, great, so but even in this hypothetical situation, if the Turkish Delight was to be damaged, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Wouldn't bother me. So I've used Turkish Delight. Yeah. There's Turkish Delight, there's like cat livers or something. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone likes cat livers. There's a load of cats going,
oh, my livers!
The cats are fine, they just had their livers removed.
Okay, and what have they got instead of the liver?
They're unicorn horns.
Okay.
Because she was just trying to cram them in. That's how she got caught as well. There's a load of cats walking around. They look like Madonna. They're two unicorn horns poking out of their chest.
And that's filtering out all the poisons and toxins from the body.
You know, like Madonna when she wore like those gold cones?
Yeah.
That's what the cats look like a little bit.
Oh, okay.
With the...
Should do livers filter out poisons, or is that kidneys? Or they both do it?
I think kidneys do.
Okay.
What's I think the liver isn't liver like, people always make those jokes like, oh, I'm drinking because I hate my liver.
Yeah.
So maybe it does the processes.
It does do something with it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe it tells you secrets.
I think if you can replace the cancer.
My liver, all it does is tell me secrets. Yeah. So I go to bed and it goes, psh, you know Susie. Right? I'm like, shut up, liver.
I don't know Susie either. Yeah. I don't know how you met.
You don't even know anyone, liver. Well, right.
You only know my friends. You don't think I'm.
Meanwhile, the horse is running around with cat livers. I don't like this.
I'm not bothered about those cat livers falling over. Yeah,
but anyway, we'll get rid of the cat livers. They can go back in the cats. Like,
but if you had, like, you know, you wouldn't leave an open box of Lindor on there because they'll roll around and tumble off. But
totally.
Some that's quality street.
Yeah.
That's but it's quite
that's fine.
Yeah, that's not going to move anyway.
But you put your Turkish Delight on the horse-legged coffee table.
Yeah.
And you're just sitting there reading your book, like lying on the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you reach for the Turkish Delight, the horse just does a little trot,
a little canter
into your range, and you have a bit of tape, and then it moves back
into
it was.
Your range. Yeah,
yeah.
Because if you leave it next to you, it's blocking the passageway.
Totally. I'm glad you said that because I was going to say some people listening would go, "Wouldn't you just have your coffee table positioned in a place that wasn't in the way?"
Yeah.
Well, the whole point, listeners, of having a coffee table with horse legs would be that you could put it where you want.
Yeah, do what you like with it. You can have it there, but you don't have to get up and move it around yourself. You can tell it where to go.
Mm. Yeah.
And then all you need to feed it is splinters, which it eats in its horrendous split wood mouth.
But how did it come about? How did you get one of these?
How did I get it?
Yeah, because in this fantasy, it's yours.
I got a wizard to transform the body and head of a horse into a big flat bit of wood. And leave the legs alone. Like,
that is a bit harsh.
Was
it a depressed horse?
It was lovely. And I always thought it would be really nice to have it in the home. But can't have a full-grown horse in the house. What are you meant to?
It's suddenly really dark. That poor horse. It's just like, I wish
me.
I was out in the fields.
He wanted to come in as well. But I was like, he won't. It's not going to fit. But if I have if I'd reduce the majority of the mass by having it transformed into, you know, a lovely bit of pine or something, varnished, and just leave his legs, then that's fine.
I like to think that one day he tried to get in your house, and he couldn't, and he was a bit confused because normally when he goes to like doors, they're those doors where like the top bit moves second of all, and you were just one big door, and you went, "Oh, that's a bit fancy."
Yeah.
Then horses are a bit skittish anyway,
yeah.
So I mean, imagine if you saw a totally new type of door. Probably freak you out a little bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no.
Probably going out in the bush for a
bit. If I see a normal type of door, I'm freaked out a little bit.
Like, you know, like, for example, the first time you see, like, saloon doors.
Yeah.
Those are brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, the first time we saw those, like, I lived in a flat where we had those towards in the kitchen.
Yeah, my, so me too. Like when I was in when I was a kid, we had some in my house.
I mean, what was that about? Did the person who put them in, did they think, I want to be 10% more cowboy? Mm. Or did they think, I'd love a door there, but I don't want to commit to a whole door?
Yeah, I think it's that one.
I mean, are they like, doors for people that have got commitment issues?
But the idea is you can...
No, they're not. They're not. No, there's some other reason.
It's a bigger reason than
that. What are they for?
You can get through them because it sort of separates the other room.
If you're cooking bacon, no. Close the door.
We didn't have it for the kitchen. We had it between the dining room and the living room.
Okay.
So the idea is, I suppose, like it's a separate room. Of course it is. It's got two little wooden doors there. There's two doors at chest height.
Yeah.
But you could push through them with food. You could just push through and they'd swing by. We don't have them anymore.
Because I found it a bit difficult. I had to get used to, like, you know, when you're carrying your dinner, figuring out how to get through the doors. Because I had to go, because if you went shoulder first, you'd open them and then one would swing back towards the plate.
Okay.
So I ended up going through backwards.
Yeah, backwards makes sense.
And even then, I had to keep the dinner close to my chest.
Yeah.
So that when the doors did come back, the dinner was safe.
I would crawl under them just to make sure there was no danger whatsoever.
Yeah, you were a limbo champion.
Yeah.
That's why they get installed, is people who are really good at limbo don't have any way to show it off.
And also, if you've got a horse-legged coffee table, that can that can just trot underneath them.
Yeah, call it in the kitchen, just... And it comes in.
Yeah.
How do you call a horse? Can you call a horse?
I think whistling is...
Don't horsey. ring on this mobile. Right, what are you up to? Yeah.
That's not a horse.
Trying to put you on speakerphone. I've got any fingers.
That's the noise you did.
I know. No, horses get to have very noise.
A walrus again, if you call him up.
Yeah, well, I couldn't imagine a horse, so I put walrus in there.
That's fair enough.
The walrus, I mean, since the mermaid's got a cooking show... Walrus doesn't know what to do with himself.
No,
so
that's why he's eating so much.
He said to me, look, you can just put me in any random half thought idea you've got.
Yeah,
shove me in there. Won't take, you know, there's no offence.
How did he say that?
He telepathically.
Okay.
Yeah, he did it with his mind.
I thought you
were, which was fine because he is a telepath, but what annoyed me was that he stood in front of a big cardboard black and white swirly like hypno disc.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, that's just showing off.
That's annoying.
If he just, you know, he could have just sort of
doesn't need that.
Yeah. I mean
making a point.
That is an interesting point. Like, imagine like you're a telepathic creature.
Uh-huh.
How would you like say hello to something the first time?
I'd stand in front of it and lock eyes. Lock eyes.
Yeah.
And then
is that a manoeuvre?
And then nod as I said it. I'd be like, "You right?" I'd nod at the same time. So it'd look at me, going, "Did he just?" It sounded like that, and why I said it because the movements looked right. And then once they got used to the idea that I could just communicate normally, I wouldn't have to worry about it.
I like that. I like because you can't just be across the room and go, "All right." Because then they'd be like, well, "What was that?
What's it doing?"
Is that, you know? I didn't realise that schizophrenia just this is how it begun. No, your way is really nice.
What were you going to do? Have a cruise ship?
I think I would just let up a load of fireworks.
Big neon sign.
Invite people into my cave covered in unicorn horns, dressed as a wizard. Yeah. You're like, look, telepathy's been around, Jay. You're not the first. Everyone's got it now.
Oh, yeah.
And they would do that in telepathy, and they ruined
it. If you could be any telepathic animal, what would it be?
That's difficult.
Because I imagined you as a cat when you said that. Like, there'd just be a cat sat sedately and loads of fireworks flying off around it, and you'd be there just staring at someone.
And it'd be stroking a human. I love whales.
Like, right.
I think whales are awesome.
Yeah.
And I do quite like the idea of a whale, sort of.
A telepathic whale.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, that'd be quite cool. That'd be a good, like, you know, you get those movies at Christmas where it's sort of like a bit of a moral story, but at the end it's quite feel good.
Mm.
You could do like a whale at Christmas, and like there's a bunch of like a whale at Christmas. There's probably a great pun you could do based on that. Write in to the Holy Dice at dice.com.
Dice Productions.
Yeah, just in fact, write it on a piece of paper. and just leave it out. We're a bit like Santa.
Santa's the film where the Christmas starts.
Well, it's a bit different from the usual feel-good Christmas movie, because maybe it starts with a load of like starving Japanese whalers.
Okay.
Because you've got to explain why people wail for a start.
Because they're starving Japanese whalers.
Well, you know, they don't have any, like you know, the iPhone's there now. Yeah. So they all used to work at Samsung.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, Samsung laid a load of people off.
Yeah.
So they were like, well,
that's the only thing you can go into.
Yeah, there's only whaling left. Because that's the thing, is I think whaling is generally seen as evil, and that's fair enough.
Mm.
But then, at the same time, it's sort of a cultural thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the whalers, you know, they go out, and it's all like black and white and really dark, and it's sort of, you know, the storm and the whale, and the whale's escaping. And then I think at some point they're hunting the whale.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the very beginning of the film. And then they're just about to get it. And then like the clouds clear and the whale pops out of the water.
Yeah.
And its big eye looks at them all. Yeah. And they're just about to like harpoon it in its face. And it just goes, what?
Yeah.
And then it cuts and it says 20 years later. And there's the like wholesome American family that needs to be the crux of the film for it to be a commercial success. Okay. And they're like playing on a beach, and then like maybe the kid gets like washed out to sea or something,
right?
Because he's like 90% sponge.
Yeah,
and don't know why they took him to the sea. Yeah, his dad was like, "I don't care if you're a sponge. You've got to get in the ocean.
You've got to learn to fight your fears. Get in that sea
and then
absorbing it."
Yeah, the kid doesn't. Basically, he's catatonic, so he can do anything. But he can talk to the whale.
It's a sponge with a face drawn.
And then just, I'm not sure, I think we've just ruined the commercial success of this movie.
No, I don't think so.
When the mum and dad are talking to sponge. People are like, could they just not afford a child actor? There's a couple of people watching
it going, a lot getting a whale.
A couple of people watching it going, this is great because I hate kid actors. I just find them a bit creepy. Much better. And then the whale saves the kid.
Yeah,
when he's out in the sea.
Okay,
and so then it brings it back. Know. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask, can there be a like I'm the sort of, you know, this is from the production company's point of view. Can there be an evil sort of like chief whaler who's on a gym? He's like, get me that whale.
So that's the dice. Yes, totally. Can. 7 out of 8 on this 8.
That's how much it wants.
Just in case people are thinking, they're rolling a d6. No, they're not. That's a lie, that is. Look at how dice work.
But he's like, he's there and he's planning. He's like, I remember when I saw that whale. I want to get that damn whale.
Imagine how aroused my wife would be if she had a bit of
telekinetic
whale.
It'd be a scene where, like, you know, sort of. If you're a kid, it would go over your head, but if you're an adult, you'd know what it was about, because it'd be him and his wife. And he was like, hey, maybe I was thinking we could go to bed early tonight. And she's like, oh, I feel really tired. So I am, but just to sleep and stuff. Mm. And when he looks up and there's like, and she's sort of looking at a photo of a dead whale that's really arousing. Yeah. But like an ex-boyfriend guy.
I was going to say, it's around Christmas time, because it's a Christmas film.
Oh, yeah, movie. Okay. So she's got
and
a
he's
hat
like,
on.
Do you want to come to bed tonight? And she like leads him a little bit, and she's like, no. And then in the background, there's like a Christmas balloon, and it just kind of flops. like a phallic.
Yeah. You
know, like imagery. A little. Yeah, that's pretty deep. I might write that idea on a postcard and send it to Steven Spielberg.
No return address. Yeah, I was happy for them to use it.
I was trying to think of a better director, but I couldn't think of one. Literally all that. And because my I'm saving imagination power, it's played by the walrus. Steven Spielberg. That's why the latest 3 Star Wars movies were rubbish. Because there's just a big walrus in a chair going...
Should we have aliens in the latest Indiana Jones thing?
Do you want to sell off Star Wars, your life's dream, to Disney? Now the walrus just wears a little crown.
But that's what I was going to ask, because it's a Christmas film. I'm just going to ask the dice. Can everyone just be wearing tinsel with no explanation? Just to really hammer it home.
Yeah. Even the whalers.
So if you came in halfway through and you'd see a scene with the whalers and they all had tinsel around their jackets, you'd be like, oh, it's a Christmas film.
Good idea.
7,
brilliant. Everyone's wearing tinsel.
Everyone's got tinsel on it.
So there's a
even
boy...
Even the whale. The whale has some around its tail.
Good, yeah. There's a sponge and he's riding a whale.
Uh-huh.
There's the evil whaler who...
Get me that whale!
...wants to get that whale. And I think the other whalers have sort of realised now...
He's a bit evil.
That the chief whale is a bit evil, and that the whale is quite good.
Yeah.
So maybe the family is looking for the
sponge.
The sponge. The whale. But the whale can't go any further in without being beached.
Yeah. Danger.
But I'm not really sure how we're going to... The problem we're having now is linking half our characters are based in Japan.
Yeah.
And the other half are based in
I thought like, they were on California. Holiday in
well, the whalers.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, that's fine. All the whalers arrive on the beach.
Having their holidays. Like, I've given you the time off.
Oh, that's it, yeah. All the whalers arrive on the beach on holiday just to the point that the sponge gets caught it's and they see it on the whale. And all the whalers go, oh no, apart from the really evil chief whaler that we'll call Ted.
Yeah.
And Ted just stares off into the distance. And then, because it's our production, it just goes, doo-doo-doo. That's not quite the noise, we need a new noise, like an evil noise, like a doo-doo-doo. That'll do.
Okay.
I think someone else might have invented that noise first.
And so, yeah, he's suddenly mists over, he gets angry.
Yeah.
Mists over with angry.
Yeah. And he just, like, charges out into the water
with the harpoon.
Yeah,
just in one hand.
Still yeah, so that's shorts. Why the whale and the sponge run off.
Yeah,
the whale's scared.
I would like for there to be some other bits. I'm just throwing suggestions as and when they come to me. Where
because
the whale and the sponge will like do loads of really good stuff. Like they'll save some dolphins or something.
Yeah,
they'll save someone whose house is falling into the sea and they'll rescue them. And it's like they're a little duo. And they're newspaper talking. Would be newspaper would take a photo of them like sponge and whale save people again. And then the whaler can be reading that newspaper like God damn it.
Yeah.
And then he throws it.
And in the montage of them doing good stuff.
Yeah.
The sponge gets like increasingly more like cool looking. So he like has like a little straw hat and maybe like a necklace made out of shells.
Yeah.
Just to suggest he's having a good time.
Yeah, yeah. Can he have a shark's tooth necklace? But it was given to him by a shark.
Nice.
He said one of my baby teeth fell out, do you want it on the necklace? And so he didn't kill a shark.
Maybe it starts a bit dramatically that the whale like rides out
into the
ocean. You know, and it cuts later on to the parents of the sponge boy.
Yeah.
And they're like quite sad.
Yeah.
But
they're quite, sort of comforted by the newspapers a little bit.
Like, I know that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay. So.
And then maybe like a seagull arrives.
Right.
And that's telepathic as well.
Okay.
And that's being played by Walrus as well. I'm just saving on imagination points.
Yeah.
And he just sort of like looks at them. He lands through, like smashes everything. He's a walrus. Now the walrus is using up more imagination than the seagull would have done. Jesus, walrus, what are you doing? You're not saving me any time. Just wearing little wings. And,
so we're actually going to sellotape wings to a walrus and throw it through a window.
Yeah, and the seagull walrus tells them the kid's fine, but he don't.
Okay.
The whalers scared them off.
I'm fine, don't worry about it.
The whalers scared them off.
Yeah.
Okay. What you guys need to do is meet him at this place. He's going to meet you here.
Yeah.
So then, like, for the parents, like a road trip movie, and they like become closer together.
Okay, good.
And maybe even at the end, the mum turns out that she's pregnant again
with a little Brillo pad.
Yeah. and then the real end of the movie is the dad going, "That's not mine." Who are we sleeping with? And then this big Brillo pad walks in and goes, "What?"
Really buff Brillo pad.
He's the butler. I think that's a hit.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah, yeah.
What are we going to call it?
There's promise for a sequel as well.
We could call it.
I thought it was like the Christmas whale, wasn't it? Or
the Christmas
whale at Christmas.
Wailing
around the Christmas tree.
Yeah. Whale. Yeah, okay.
Whale, yeah.
See. Yeah, whale, yeah. That's great. I think whale, yeah, it's brilliant.
Perfect.
It's 3D as well.
Yeah, it has to be.
Just for the walrus crashing through the window.
It's filmed at like that, you know, really fast, high frame rate, like what they did with The Hobbit.
Yeah, we'll get Benicio del Toro to
direct it. Yeah.
Is that the right guy?
Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, I said Benicio. Denicio is a cheap knockoff. Of Benicio.
Guillermo del Toro is the director, but he didn't do The Hobbit because Peter Jackson ended up doing it.
Yeah, but he did Hellboy.
Yeah,
so he's perfect.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I mean, I think of Hellboy, I think of Christmas Wales.
I didn't realise until now, but that was the sensation I was feeling when I watched Hellboy and Pacific Rim and things like that.
Yeah. Talking about movies,
yeah.
First idea, right? How about Larry Cotter? Yeah, Larry Cotter. He's like a kid. And he's got like a pentagram scar on his forehead
right.
That just happened by accident because his like was accidentally heating up a pentagram on the oven. He fell forwards. Well, what I've written is just a scene from the movie where it's like Larry and someone else, and the guy's like, "Hey, Larry, have you found a spell to make women find you less creepy?" And then I wrote "smooth talkatus," and that was it. That was the end of my idea. But yeah,
Larry, what's his name again?
Larry Cotter.
Larry Cotter, the pentagram boy.
The pentagram boy.
Yeah.
Someone
says to him, "Hey, Larry, you found a way of making a spell that makes you better with women."
Because you got to like. There's some logic here. Like, if you have a pentagram.
Yeah.
Scar on your forehead. I think you might find it hard. Maybe emo goth girls would find you kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They'd be like, "Yeah, how'd you do that?" And you'd be like, "Fell on the oven."
Fell on the oven whilst I was heating up a pentagram. Yeah, yeah. As a child.
Yeah. What are you doing that for? I'm just, you know. Yeah, but if you were Larry Cotter, what sort of spell
would I do?
We're in class.
This is weird because I've written. I can't remember if I said this before, but I've written one of the things I've written down that I was going to say.
Yeah, one of the things you written
was wizard seduction techniques.
Did I talk about that before? No.
It's like, you know, for example.
All right, let's go that way.
You go,
that's better than my idea.
You go, "I've made a sexy hat appear on my head."
Yeah, that's what I do. Okay, so we're at the Christmas party, right?
The wizard's Christmas party.
No, not wizard. You're the one wizard in the IT company.
Okay.
They use you to like fix the servers.
Yeah.
Because I mean that's wizardry anyway, basically.
Yeah.
And you're there, and you wanna impress the mermaid. She's it's the Christmas party of the TV show,
mm-hmm.
and you do the servers for the website.
Okay.
How would you? Like you've got to like, you know, all the parties going on. She's taking photographs of her fish bum, which no one wants.
She's taking her own photographs.
Well, you know, like people sit on the in the classic movies. I'm not saying anyone does this in real life. They sit on the photocopier.
But she's taking photographs.
But she's half fish. She's taking photographs. Yeah. She's got it wrong.
She's set up a tripod.
She's
a timer. She's waddling towards it and then setting the timer.
And everyone's going, "This lacks the spontaneity that makes the original act kind of sexy."
She's got an infinity curve set up. She can sort of
there taking photographs. Like, you've got to go over spell. There. You're fully charged up on your magic.
Yeah.
What would you?
First of all, I'd use my wand as a comb to like comb hair back, like they do in like the Fonz would do. Or something.
Nice.
It's a wand.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd go.
Yeah, and you accidentally turn your fish hair into fish.
I'd turn my bag of fish. I was going to bring her into hair.
She loved that. You already in. You already.
Yeah. Don't muck this up.
Got a comb over with a big salmon.
Yeah, just a like octopus tentacles that I've combed over the side of my head.
Yeah, but I'm there and I'm like, "Dude, you've got to be yourself. You know, she's going to love you for the wrong reasons. You know, smell a fish or
something." No, I don't listen to him.
Oh, you're just going to keep it?
Yeah, yeah. I don't listen to you, sorry. Yeah, I'm like, "No, she'll trust me. She's too good for me. I've got to woo her over."
All right, okay.
I'll slowly start to introduce my real self once.
Okay. You could make it,
but we'd know from in the film that you were like I should have done what you said, and you sort of shake your head sadly as I'd walk off to try and woo her, and then I would transform my shoes into wheelies, so I could roll over there with this octopus in my head.
You transform your shoes to wheelies, and then you point the wand backwards. Yeah, a little fireball propels you across.
Exactly.
So you set fire to the half of the office unbeknownst to you.
And then I like get to her and I do a 360 spin to a stop in front of her.
That's always a great way to. I hear all ladies like a bit of a 360
spin to stop and then face them.
That's why ladies quite like sort of dancers, you know, male dancers.
Yeah, male dancers.
Because
they're
like, imagine how a male dancer gets out of bed.
Mm.
He doesn't like go, "Oh, I'm a back."
He doesn't sit on the edge of the bed and slowly stand
does
up.
Does a little. Anyway, yes, so you slide over.
It's also why women like the roundabout things you get at kids' playgrounds and spin round.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, seductive.
They are massive fans of centrifugal force.
Yeah, that's also why they like Lazy Susans.
Yeah.
And spinning tops.
Yep. So you go over there holding Lazy Susan, spinning top.
I've got different.
Give her two gifts. Those are our Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
You go, and do you know what? You can put the spinning top on the Lazy Susan. Incredible.
And then you spin the top round the Lazy Susan. I go,
"Do you mind? I'm trying to take photos of my bum here."
And I go, "Hey, lady, what's cooking?" Because also she's got the cooking program, so she'd find that quite funny.
Okay. So you're going over there. You've got your. You give her the Lazy Susan.
Mm-hmm.
give her the spinning top.
Mm-hmm.
You've done the 360. She's seen the octopus hairdo.
Yeah.
I think you're pretty there. But what are you going to say? What are you going to, you know?
Well, then I'd go.
No. Yeah. First thing she says is, "Oh, what have you done to your head?"
To my head as well. Not even my hair. An entire head. Well, I wouldn't answer that because I'd already planned to say something, and that would throw me.
All right. So okay. Okay. Give it to me. I'd be like, "Oh, what have you done to your head?"
I'd go, "What's cooking?" Because she's got the cooking.
Well, nothing. I've got a day off, isn't it? It's a Christmas party. It's just mince pies over there if you're hungry.
And then I'd look at my notebook to see what my next line was.
Yeah.
Hang on, I've got three words for you. You, me, hot tub.
I think that's four words, isn't it?
Hot tub's hyphenated.
Okay.
It's technically one word.
Oh, yeah.
It isn't the way I've spelt it in here, anyway.
As long as it's not too hot, because it makes me scales go funny.
Okay. Yeah. I've got a magic wand.
Yeah.
Do you want another Lazy Susan? There was a deal on and I bought two. Buy one, get one free.
Where's the hot tub?
It's on the sixth floor.
Cool. And the rest of this story has been removed because it's very explicit.
Yeah.
There's one person listening to this going,
"No." I'm finally aroused for the first time in my life.
I came back down to the party later with a smile on my face. Yeah. And you were like, "It worked." Yeah. She still doesn't know the real you. How long are you going to have to keep this pretense up? I'm like, it's fine. I'll just wear wheelies for the rest of my life. Yeah. Have an octopus on my head.
Yeah. And the moral of the story is that lies work.
Yeah. So what, I mean, how would you seduce, what would your suggestion be? If you're so good at it.
If I had a pentagram scar on my head,
mm-hmm.
I think I would have to go with the dark wizard angle.
Right.
So I change Larry to Lazarus.
Okay.
I'd be Lazarus
Cotter. Yeah.
Lazarus Sea Dog.
Yeah.
Because what I'd do is once in a while I'd teleport over to be a member of the Crips in LA.
Okay.
You know, just throwing it down. First of all, I'd just try and get her attention by manifesting Tupac and Biggie. Mm. And we'd just be hanging out having a drink.
Nice.
And so maybe just try and catch her eye.
Yeah.
Like laughing really loudly, playing at Tupac's jokes.
Yeah, sort of hard to get. Like, so she's like, "That's a cool guy for them."
Yeah. So Tupac would be doing things like he'd have his 4-pack of beer.
Yeah.
And then he'd drink two, and then he'd go, "Oh, no, there's only two left. They must be mine."
He goes,
and I'd laugh.
"Oh, my doppelganger's here." He says and points at the Tupac.
He's only got one joke. He does it all the time.
But he keeps using doppelganger, which seems quite antiquated.
Yeah.
But, so can I just ask a quick question? When do you put your wheelies on?
I don't know, I'm not gonna do wheelies.
That surprised me.
What I would do is I would manifest a kraken.
Okay.
And I would get it to lift me up because krakens are quite big.
Yeah,
massive. I'd get it to like lift me up with its tentacle and just lower me next to her. Right.
Okay.
And I'd be like, "All right, yeah, I'll play it natural." I'd be like, "All right, what are you doing with the camera?"
Just taking photos of my bum. Photocopy is broken.
And now I'm like trying to get some common ground. Be like, "Yeah, I'm always taking photos of my bum. I've got a blog, actually, a Tumblr.
Oh, really?
It's called Wizars. It's really popular. Because I have to warn you, I'm a dark wizard. I did one. My most successful one was, and by now my inner monologue would be, "You're talking too much." But my most successful one would be called Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
And that was like me, but like one of my butt cheeks was like really dark.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd look at you and go, "Being yourself doesn't work."
I like that. I went, "Oh yeah, that's really good," but I didn't do the mermaid's voice. So it was like I'd come over as well and I'd just join the
conversation. Yeah, I'd be like, "What are you doing?"
Mate, that is really cool. Yeah. It's cramping my style, Alex, but that is an awesome photo.
And then I just say, "Do you want to go in a hot tub?" And she'd be like, "Where is it?" And I'd turn to you and go, "Where is it?
Yeah, I'll come, yeah."
And she's like, "I think this has already happened." And I'd be like, "No, that was a parallel universe."
Yeah. What floor is it on?
666. She's like, "There's not that many floors." I'm like, "All right, six."
Six, but if you hold two mirrors next to it, you can make it look like there's three of them.
Yeah.
But one of them's backwards.
Two mirrors.
Yeah. In fact, there's two of them backwards.
There'll be like an infinite amount of sixes if they're facing each other.
And that's what the devil really should have gone.
And then Del Monte appears and goes, "Don't waste your time! I did it with oranges! No, I wanted to buy infinite oranges." For those listening, if the whole infinite orange thing was cut out, it was brilliant. Imagine a piece now about Del Monte guy
talking about infinite oranges. Orange universe, okay. Which is made of...
Okay, hang on. Imagining? Well done, guys. Oh, you failed, guys. You got a two. Yeah, well, keep it to the walruses.
Keep to walruses.
I put him in because, again, I was struggling to think of anything. Yeah, just put the walrus in.
Walrus just comes in. It's like a sort of sealant in your brain. That when there's a hole, he just slides in.
We're in the hot tub now, and she's just looking at me, and I'm going, walrus.
So is the walrus coming up or what?
Yeah, that's actually what I'm trying to get at. I'm not even interested in her. I want to hang out with the walrus.
Yeah.
And it just seems to, you know, give us a lot of room to be ourselves.
Yeah.
Too many people there.
It's comfortable with silence, isn't it? You
know, I tried to hang out with the parrot, didn't like it.
Yeah.
Walrus, great.
And then the walrus bursts into a window with wings severed.
Where have you been, walrus? Oh, I've been to this new movie. What? He did. I don't know. He said that by holding up a piece of paper.
Yeah.
I don't want the
and then you read
talk.
It out. Yeah. I've been in this new movie. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
What was it called? Wailing Christmas.
Have a wailing good Christmas.
Yeah. And that would be...
Well, it sounds great.
That,
walrus.
Right there, that whole bit about wizards, that would be the trailer for the movie. Wailing Christmas.
I think all trailers should be about something completely off topic and then just have a walrus burst in and hold up the
really
description
about.
Or synopsis of the film.
Yeah. And then this guy walks on in a suit and goes, you could be watching more stuff like this, or you could go and see a real film about a man who has a sponge for a child.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any other way I'd really try and impress. I mean, it'd be quite cool to sort of make my fingers and like sausages and blankets appear.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like when I think the most, probably one of the most impressive.
So sausages wrapped in bacon.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, usually it's called pigs and blankets.
That's the one.
But you mix the metaphor with reality. Yeah. So it's a sausage in a blanket.
Yeah. Well, like, I've just described, I don't want there to be any, you know, you say pigs in blankets in our world, that might actually be pigs in blankets.
To be honest, I'd have been confused however you said it.
Yeah, I mean, if pigs and blankets arrived, I can't eat that. They look so cute.
So I think it's a walrus.
Just the walrus that, walrus, I need to eat my body weight. You can't talk. No, I was going to say, you know, because everyone likes to nibble at the party.
Yeah.
And Mermaid, I mean, she's hammered at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I would do is, I was going to say, one of the most impressive things in the universe, I mean, obviously there's space and there's existence itself.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably top five. In definitely the spectrum of, the high end of the spectrum of things that are super impressive is when you're in a Mexican restaurant and the quesadillas arrive on those little hot plates and they're sizzling a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, with like the food still sizzling.
Yeah.
That's impressive. So I click my fingers and the quesadillas would appear.
Nice.
Ideally with a sort of wood base between me and the hot metal.
Yeah, no, of course.
Because otherwise that would be a disaster.
Or you'd have to carry an oven glove around your pocket all the time.
Yeah, but...
And you'd have to click inside the oven glove and it would appear on top of the oven.
Nice, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very that cool.
Why
has
Jay got an oven glove on? You'll see.
Yeah. Why doesn't he just magic the oven glove? We don't know.
That's not how magic works.
But the only problem is, my favourite quesadilla is a prawn.
Okay.
So I think I might mess up there.
Yeah, because I'm not keen on prawns.
I'm not sure.
Oh, you're not worrying me, are you? I just keep imagining this is for me.
Does a mermaid eat fish?
Yeah,
I think she does. So she probably would eat prawns.
I was just thinking that because it's like, you know, that it's fish isn't all one species. It's just the, you know, it's like birds eat other birds.
That's true. Yeah.
Fish will eat.
And that would be my opening gambit. Would be birds eat other birds. You're like, you know, she's a bird woman, but she's like, are you a cockney wizard? I'll be like, nah, that's my uncle when he appears. Whee! Does a little cockney
fingers.
Shuffle and disappears again.
Yeah, clicks
photocopy
his fingers
and
some jelly deal sizzling on a little plate appearing.
Yeah. So that's what I would do. So I think you win. I think...
The wheelies. It's the wheelies.
I think your idea is way... I mean, you ended up in your... I mean, even though you were like, what... You asked me what happened and I had to imagine it. In my mind, I got as far as talking to her and then it failed. So that is how much confidence I have. At some point, she clocks out of the imaginary scene and walks off and like goes and sits in a chair and the walrus comes in.
Yeah.
And I go, all right, walrus. And then we just go on a roller coaster.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Tupac's still at the bar.
And that is why people think that Tupac didn't die. Because he didn't die.
No, you magicked him
away
to it.
He was shot. But he disappeared at that exact moment.
Yeah.
With his and since then, he's been working for a production company with a mermaid.
Yeah. Brilliant.
The end. Holland and Cowell, you are definitely guilty. We're not sure what happened in this court. I'm not sure why I let the discretion go on so long.
We just drifted off.
I didn't have a gabble because Michael Beredovich walked off.
Now I'm back again. Oh my God, he's my wig.
I guess we'll go to prison then. Yeah.
Yeah. Find out what happens next week in prison.